My name is Brian Charpier, and I'm interviewing Jeffrey Morris. Would you like to
go ahead?
Would you like to go into your family history, Mr. Morris?
I sure would, Brian. And it's an honor being asked a little bit about my history and my connection with the Jacksonville Jewish Center. And I really appreciate you interviewing me, Brian. On my mother's side of the family, her great grandparents came to the United States from a little village in Lithuania called Pushilot, Lithuania, in the early part of the 20th century. And what makes that little village so relevant to the Jacksonville Jewish Center, even up to the present date, is that not only did my family, immediate family, emigrate to Jacksonville from Pushilot, but a number of other families emigrated from Pushilot to Jacksonville around that same time period. So if you were to hear the names Setzer or Cohen or Schemmer or Margol or Fialco or Slot or many other names that are familiar to members of the Jacksonville Jewish Center, those families, including my mother's family, whose name was Kramer, all came to Jacksonville around the same time. And in fact, in the early part of the 20th century, there was a society in Jacksonville called the Pushilata Society, trying to sort of keep up with family that remained in Pushilot, and they would raise money and send it to Pushilot from Jacksonville. So that's how my family ended up immigrating from Europe to Jacksonville in the early part of the 20th century. My great-grandfather on my mother's side was an iceman in town. He used to drive a cart around the city, a horse-drawn cart, and deliver ice. And that was what he did for a living until he eventually didn't need a horse, but he did that until the late 40s, early 50s. So that's how we ended up in Jacksonville. And Brian, if you'd like for me to give you a little bit of history about the Jacksonville Jewish Center, I'm happy to do that also. So I'll leave it up to you how you want to proceed from going forward.
Where were you born?
I was born in 1952 at St. Vincent's Medical Center.
Is that in Florida?
That's in Jacksonville. It's in the Riverside area. It's still an active hospital. In fact, I have three children. They were all born in that same hospital.
What part of Jacksonville did you grow up in? Or specifically, do you remember the neighborhood?
I do. I grew up in the Springfield area until I was 1 or 2 years of age. Springfield at the time was where the entire Jewish community, I wouldn't say entire, but most of the Jewish community lived in Springfield, which is, I think, close, Brian, to where you live. Don't you live in
yep.
the north side of Jacksonville somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And
Evergreen Cemetery.
You live near Evergreen Cemetery?
Is like 5 minutes away from me.
Right. So my family and most of the Jewish community lived in Springfield because that's where the synagogues were located. And then when I was one or two, we moved to San Marco, a little street called Morrow Street, a couple blocks from San Marco Square. And then when I was 10, I moved to the near DuPont, off of DuPont Avenue in the San Jose area of Jacksonville. And then I lived there until I was 18, and then went off to college. In fact, I went to college, Brian, because I understand you're going to LSU. I went to college at your arch rival, your soon-to-be arch rival, Tulane. I don't know if we're much of a rival, although we're more of a rival now in football than we used to be. LSU used to beat us all the time. But recently, Tulane's had some pretty good football teams. So LSU's a great school, and I hear you're planning on being an engineering major. I think that's terrific. And I think you really enjoy your college years in Baton Rouge.
Thank you. So you grew up in Jacksonville, and then you moved on to college. Were your parents raised in Jacksonville, or did they live here a long time before they met?
That's a good question. My mother was born in Jacksonville, and her parents at a young age moved to Jacksonville with my great-grandparents, and my mother went to Jackson High School in the Springfield area. She grew up in Springfield. My father was from New York City, and he and my mother met when she was a student at what is now called Florida State, but what was then called Florida State College for Women. I don't know if you knew this, Brian, but until 1948, FSU was a women's institution. Only females were allowed to attend, and it was called Florida State College for Women. And she was at a dance at Hillel, which is a Jewish organization for college students in Tallahassee, where FSU was, Florida State College for Women was located. And my father was stationed in the military. This is in the early to mid 40s. And they met at a dance, and then they got married, and they moved to Jacksonville. And he was a certified public accountant, and she taught school for a few years before she ended up having five children, me being one of them.
So you've got some deep family roots here in Jacksonville. So how was growing up then? Did you experience any anti-Semitism or anything like that when you were growing up?
None. None that I took any offense at. Back when I was in public school, it was standard practice to say prayers during school, and we would say prayers that might have been found in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, and we didn't really object to it, and I didn't find it offensive because that's how things were back in those days. I did not experience any overt anti-Semitism. So I had a very wonderful childhood, and really the center of my life in Jacksonville before I went off to college was the Jacksonville Jewish Center. That's when we would have Friday night dinners at my house. The first topic of discussion was always what's going on at the center, what's happening with the schools, what's happening with the services there, who passed away, who moved to town and joined the synagogue. Those were the items that we discussed most often, and that's because we participated in all the events related to the synagogue.
So you would say that the synagogue was a focal point in you and your family's life at the time.
I think that's an excellent way of putting it. It was the focal point. Back in those days, I attended the Jacksonville Jewish Center kindergarten. We didn't have a day school back when I was in elementary school, so I didn't have an option of going to something like what we have now at the Jacksonville Jewish Center, the elementary school there. And so we would go to public school, and then we would go in the afternoons. A bus would pick us up at our public school and take us to 3rd and Silver Street in Springfield, where the Jewish Center was located at that time. And we would have Hebrew school. And on Sundays, we would have Sunday school. It was I can't say it was 100% fun to do those to have Hebrew school and Sunday school, but when I look back on it, it was a pretty rigorous program. In fact, one year for Hebrew school, we would, because they had so many kids, they had a double session. So for instance, you would finish, I think it was during seventh grade, when I was in seventh grade, I'd finish public school at about, 3:30 or 4. A Jacksonville Jewish Center bus would pick us up and take us to the Jacksonville Jewish Center. If we were in the second session for Hebrew school, then we would play in the gym, and they had a magnificent gym in that facility. Or otherwise just hang around for an hour and a half or so. And then we would actually be served dinner. And then we would go to Hebrew school for an hour, hour and a half. So we wouldn't get home, and the bus would take us home afterwards. So we wouldn't get home until 8 or 8:30 at night. And that was a tiring ordeal, but it really reflected how serious the synagogue took its responsibilities to provide a Jewish education to its students.
On the topic of school, where did you go to high school?
For elementary school, I was at Southside Grammar, which is now San Marco Lofts. That's when we lived in the San Marco area. And then when I was in fourth grade, I started San Jose Elementary, which is on St. Augustine Road. And then for middle school, I went to DuPont on DuPont Avenue. And then for high school, I went to Wolfson High School, which opened in 1966. And so I was in the fourth graduating class because I graduated in 1970. From Wolfson High School.
So, you said you had a lot of friends. Do you stay in contact with any of them? You have a best friend from there, or are most of your friends from college?
That's a good question. A lot of my friends from high school ended up coming back to Jacksonville, and we remain friends, and most of them are from the Jewish community. Wolfson, at the time, even now, is located in proximity to where a substantial number of the Jewish population reside in the south side part of Jacksonville. And back in that day, there were people, that, Jewish kids that went to bowls, but the bulk of the Jewish students ended up going to Wolfson High School. And we have remained friends since I left high school, and I've stayed in contact with them. And many of them are members of the center. The answer is yes. I've remained in contact with my friends from high school.
That's nice. Do you have any favorite memories or stories from your time growing up in Jacksonville?
Well, I do have a lot of memories from growing up in Jacksonville. I'll talk about the ones relating to the Jewish community, and then more broadly. I am amazed that we had such good teachers and instructors at the Jewish Center. We had people like Philip Selber and Sipora Zucker and Leon Zucker and Ted Gross and many others who really volunteer their time to teach students at the center. I remember playing basketball at the Jacksonville Jewish Center gymnasium. On Sunday afternoon, after Sunday school, they had a basketball program. That was really my first exposure to playing organized basketball. And ultimately, it led to me playing basketball in middle school, and then in high school, and then also in college, where I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship. So I remember when that Sunday school basketball program, we had a sort of an all-star team, and we went up to Savannah, Georgia, and played the Jewish Community Center team in Savannah, Georgia. So it was a big deal to go out of town to play another team. And we won, and it was quite a thrill to have done that. My experiences growing up at the Jewish Center were all positive, and I'm very appreciative of all the people at that institution that really volunteered to keep things going. And then more broadly, my playing basketball was fun, and attending Wolfson was terrific. We still have high school reunions that I go to and participate in, so I keep in contact with members of my high school class through that, and just very fortunate to have experienced a very positive high school program. So what else do you want to ask me about? I guess I could go on with talking about what I remember about the growth of the synagogue and how it moved from one location to the next, but I'll let you decide how you want to proceed.
So were there any major historical, Jewish events that you lived through had impact on your local community, which would be Jacksonville?
That's a good question. I think my closest brush with history might have been in connection with one of my children had a bat mitzvah that was interrupted by a bomb scare, and it did receive some notoriety at the time because the so-called bomb had been placed in the synagogue in anticipation of the arrival of the former prime minister of Israel a week before, and just remained there and was found during my daughter's bat mitzvah, which led to a little bit of news at the time. But I can't really say that I've had any kind of connection with any larger historical significant events. So I think it's probably limited to that one instance.
So how many kids do you have again?
Could you repeat that, please, Brian?
I know you said you had 5 siblings, but how many kids do you have?
I have 3 children. My oldest is Shira, and she lives in the Lower East Side of New York, which is where my dad actually spent some of his childhood. He was a native of New York. And she has a husband and 3 children. My middle child is Aliza, and she lives in San Marco here in Jacksonville, and is in fact, Brian, hang on 1 second, please. Somebody is knocking on my front door, so let me see who that might be. Hello?
Be Passover.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Matzah for you.
I'm doing an interview, but thank you so much. You were going to ask me to put on me, to fill it?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Right. Thank you so much, Ed. Thank you, guys. Brian, I was just interrupted by 2 yeshiva boys who just go door to door and delivering matzah and asked me to try on tefillin. So anyway, my daughter Aliza is a pharmacy tech, and she works in Riverside, and she actually reads Torah almost weekly at the Jacksonville Jewish Center, so she's continuing her connection with the synagogue. And my youngest is Zachary, and he's a social work professor at Stony Brook University in New York and lives in Brooklyn. And he's got a wife and 2 boys, ages 4 and 2. Brian, did I lose you?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, how did your Jewish upbringing differ from your children's?
I would say not a lot, because I grew up in a kosher home. We would attend services on a pretty regular basis on Shabbat. and we were active in the Jacksonville Jewish Center. My children grew up in a kosher home because my wife and I keep kosher. My wife is Mara Rachel. She's taught at the Jacksonville Jewish Center for almost 50 years. And she probably taught you, Brian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they attended Solomon Schechter Day School, so they also got educated at the Jacksonville Jewish Center. And I wouldn't say that there was much change other than I went to a Hebrew school and Sunday school. They went to day school. So their growing up in Jacksonville was also closely tied into what was going on at the Jacksonville Jewish Center, as was my growing up in Jacksonville.
So how did you know that your wife was the person you wanted to marry?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I was a sophomore at Tulane, and she was a freshman at Tulane. My older sister was also at Tulane. She was 2 years ahead of me. And my wife, Robin's sister, was 3 years older than her, so she was the same age as my sister. She also was at Tulane. So all four of us were at Tulane. And for some reason, I ran into my wife's older sister, and she told me that she had a sister that just came to Tulane, and then I called her, and before you know it, we started dating, and then got married a number of years later after we finished college, and she finished a program in Israel, and I started law school, and I can't say exactly what motivated me to marry her other than it seemed like a good idea. So that's how it happened.
You just somehow knew and decided that she was the one.
I suppose so. I suppose so.
How long have you been married?
We were married in 1976, so we've been married almost 49 years. And so we'll have a 50th anniversary next year. And we got married in Denver, Colorado, where Robin is from, and had a honeymoon in Colorado Springs for a couple of days, and then we drove to Jacksonville, and we lived to Jacksonville, except for another couple of years in law school. We lived in Gainesville. We've lived in Jacksonville since then.
And when you were in Gainesville, was it Gainesville, Florida, or Georgia?
Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida.
Did you have a hard time finding a community in Gainesville?
Well, I was in law school, and so my community was, I was really all into doing what I could in law school, and so I didn't really seek out the larger community that much. My wife, when we got married, in my last 2 years in law school, she taught at the synagogue B'nai Israel in Gainesville, and through that connection, we became friendly with some families, and of course, we also became friendly with other law students and their families. Before I got married, I actually roomed with two other law students who I knew from high school. My real focus during that time was on graduating from law school.
Okay. Is there any words of wisdom that you'd like future generations to hear?
I don't presume that I'm the wisest person in the world. I would hope that that future generations appreciate the value of synagogue life and the value and the values that are passed along through participation in synagogue life, and that the strongest connection to the Jewish community in a town like Jacksonville is really the synagogue. And unless the synagogues survive and thrive, the Jewish community is not going to survive and thrive. So I've always been one that thought that the focus financially, the focus culturally, the focus even athletically should revolve around the synagogue, as without a vibrant synagogue, you're not going to have a Jewish community that will thrive and be successful.
That makes sense.
What's that, Brian?
I said that that makes sense. That actually. Very important to think about. Who had the most impact on you at the center?
I can recall all of the rabbis that have been there since the 1950s. I was born in 52, and I recall Rabbi Tofield, who was there until 1957. I recall Rabbi Lipnick, who was there in the early 60s. I recall Rabbi Turetsky, who was there in the mid-60s or to early 70s. I recall Rabbi Gaffney, of course, who was there for decades. I recall Rabbi Grunfast. I know and respect so much Rabbi Lubliner. All of them in their own ways impacted the synagogue and tried their best to carry on its traditions and to help the Jewish community. All my Hebrew teachers, I remember fondly. I previously mentioned some, and all the parents who volunteered their time. It's an amazing assortment of people that makes a synagogue be successful. So I appreciate all of them, and hope that future generations will do their share to also make the synagogue a success.
Okay. So the you, all those people just really strengthen your love for the center.
Could you repeat that, Brian?
All those people just really strengthened your love for the center.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I wish I was closer to the center so I could be there more often.
Well, you know, we can only do what we can do, and from what I understand, and I think I'm correct on this, you're doing everything you could possibly do, and I'm just appreciative that you're in the confirmation class, that you've had patience with me to put up with missed appointments. The fact my associate Robin, who met you the other day, couldn't have gushed more highly about you, and was so impressed by meeting you. And when she told me you were going to LSU and that you hope to study engineering, I was so pleased to hear that. And that's quite a goal, and I'm sure you're going to accomplish it and be very successful in everything that you do. So I'm appreciative of you and the other students like you that are going to the trouble of interviewing us much older people who have more in our rear view mirror than we do in our front view mirror. And anyway, thank you for everything you've done.
And thank you for wanting to be interviewed, because it's important to keep history. So, was Judaism practiced more conservative or orthodox in your house growing up?
The history of the Jacksonville Jewish Center is that in the early part of the 20th century, it was originally an Orthodox synagogue, and then in the, I believe it was the late 20s, affiliated with the conservative movement. And actually, the conservative movement, the practices of the conservative movement were not that different than the practices of the Orthodox movement for a number of decades, except for the conservative movement encouraged members to drive to synagogue. They thought that was an important thing that needed to be allowed, and the Orthodox community was not in favor of that. Conservative movement allowed for mixed seating, meaning men and women could sit together. The Orthodox movement was not in agreement with that. So those were the two major differences between the conservative and the Orthodox movement back for a number of years. And then and our family always grew up in a conservative tradition, and so that's, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in a kosher home. I maintain a kosher home now, and but consistent with the values of conservative Judaism, which is over the past a couple of decades, it's become there have been major gaps created between the conservative movement and the Orthodox movement. But I'm good with that as far as the conservative movement is concerned.
So you're conservative, you kept kosher, and you had a bar mitzvah. Could you tell me more about like the ceremony that, or just something about your bar mitzvah?
Well, the bar mitzvah would have been in 1965. Rabbi Turetsky officiated, and I don't recall a lot of the details about it. I'm sure we had a small party at my house on Saturday night, not like you may have gone to these days where where there was a band or a DJ. We didn't have anything like that. I think we just had a get together at my house on Saturday night. So I don't recall a lot of the details of what happened. We have a picture of me somewhere as a bar mitzvah boy, and I can't fill in a lot of those details. I know Ted Gross was in charge of Torah instruction. Cantor A. Martin, who I should have mentioned earlier, who was at the Jacksonville Jewish Center for well over 50 years, handled the Haftorah instruction. And his wife actually just passed away a few weeks ago. She moved out to Miami. He was the cantor, and had a sort of a old style approach to cantorial music, and had a choir program for many years where he recruited students to sing in a choir that he put together. A wonderful guy, and really appreciated him so much. But I can't really recall the details of my bar mitzvah.
Yeah, I can't really either. I just remember who taught me how to read my Torah portion. That's about it. Miss Wendy.
Right.
Have you noticed any, like, major changes at the synagogue over the years, besides it moving around?
Aside from moving from Springfield to the south side, there's been a growing acceptance of the participation of women in formal Jewish tradition. Up until Rabbi Lubliner came to Jacksonville, women did not count in the minyan, meaning that if you wanted to have a minyan, we have a daily minyan, morning and evening minyan at the center, and you can't have a minyan unless you have 10 present. Well, those 10 could only be men up until Rabbi Lubliner came, and through discussion and learning and education, we now count women in our minyan, and which is by far the adopted way of doing things in the conservative movement these days. So the participation of women in services full participation is a big thing. And also, back when I was growing up, girls would have their bat mitzvahs on a Friday night, not It wouldn't include anything on Saturday morning. The boys would have Friday night and Saturday morning. Girls would be limited to a Friday night. So it was limited participation of women back in those days. So that's been the major change that I can recall.
I think that might have been recent that women were counted in the Minion, because when I was in middle school and we did Minion, it was only the boys that counted. So I think that was a recent change.
It would have been, it was a year or two after Rabbi Lugliner came. I think he was determined to see us count women in the Minyan. So he's been with us maybe 15 years. So maybe it's been 13 years since that happened. I don't know when you were in at that age. How old were you when you remember that being the case? How many years ago was that?
That was 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think it's been more than that, that women have been counted in the Minion at the Jacksonville Jewish Center. But
I mean, maybe they did something different for middle school, but...
Yeah. No, it would have been the same in middle school. They would not have excluded women or girls from the middle school to count in the Minion. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you had more boys in your class. Don't know. And this ended up more boys going to the Minion than girls.
But that's cool, because I didn't realize that women could be counted in the Minion.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to attend Camper Ma, Brian?
Oh, no, I never went to Camper Ma.
Yeah. Camper Ma is a large part of the Jewish experience for a large segment of kids at the center, as you probably know. And I was active at one time, and I was on the board of Ramah Jerome, which is the Ramah camp in Georgia. And in our synagogue, when I was active, I looked at all the congregations and sent kids to Ramah Jerome, and the Jacksonville Jewish Center sent more kids to Ramah Jerome than any other synagogue in the Southeast. So it's a wonderful institution. I attended Ramah in Massachusetts for one summer, and it was a great summer. And I remember many of the things that happened there to this day. Yeah, but, a lot of kids are unable to attend for whatever reason. And so I understand that.
So Israel was formed a state while you were, before you were in school, I think.
Before I was born, Israel became
in
1948. Yeah.
Yeah, way before.
Not way before. It was 4 years before I was born. Yeah.
Well, before you were in school, is what I mean.
Yes. Absolutely.
Did Israel have a role in your education? When you were in, I mean, I know you went to a public high school, so.
Yeah. Israel was always prominently supported by the Jacksonville Jewish Center. We used to have little collection boxes around the synagogue for the Jewish National Fund to throw in our nickels and dimes and quarters to raise money for that fund. And my sense and recollections are general about that, but I know that the synagogue was always supportive of the State of Israel. And We had a number of teachers who were born in Israel, Dov Kentoff, who was an incredible personality and youth leader and rabbi. Was one of those people. And the Zuckers, Leon and Spor Zucker, who I earlier mentioned, were teachers who were from Israel. Alana Manassi was from Israel, another teacher. Mrs. Mebab, another teacher from Israel. So we had a number of Israeli personalities teach at the school, and they were always interested in what was going on in Israel, of course, because they still had families there that lived there and partner. And so Israel and the Jacksonville Jewish Center were always intertwined. And as I said, the center always supported the state of Israel.
Yeah, that's good. I know there's some synagogues out there that don't want to put an opinion out there, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So you'd really hope that the younger generation stays very active, like you did when you were growing up and when you were raising your kids. Do you have any ideas on how to get people back to the synagogue?
That's a $1 million question. Maybe with inflation, that's a $1 billion question. I think we're very lucky at the Jacksonville Jewish Center that we have a campus that can provide, has the physical space to provide outdoor activities, has a gymnasium to provide physical activities, has the classrooms to provide a day school and a preschool and afternoon school, has the history of having provided more than just services on Shabbat and on the high holidays, but really provides a way of life. And I think it's important that all of these be preserved, and they all work together in strengthening the attachment of members to the synagogue. And I consider myself very fortunate to have grown up in that kind of all-encompassing environment. And I think we have to maintain that, and we can't lose that. We have to be more than just a place for attending services, which is in
your call will be terminated in 5 minutes.
Day and age, we have to bring people in because of our campus, because of our youth programs, because of our schools. And if we do that, we'll have done all we can do to foster growth of our Jewish community. So I hope we'll continue to support the broad programs that the Jacksonville Jewish Center really has been known for throughout the generations.
Mm-hmm. So the recorder is going to terminate the call in 5 minutes, which kind of sucks. So do you have any final words before we end the interview?
No, I really appreciate the manner in which you've conducted it, and your questions have been great. And I I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about my family history and the Jacksonville Jewish Center and growing up in Jacksonville, and wish you only the best, and appreciate the opportunity to have chatted with you.
I appreciate you being able to and willing to have this interview, because it was great to learn about Jacksonville's history and talk to you. So,
okay.
Thank you, Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Brian. And this is the last time I'll tell you to call me Jeffrey and not Mr. Brian, Mr. Morris.
Okay, Jeff.
You can call me Jeffrey, please. I insist.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And
very good.
Have a nice day.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brian. You take care of yourself, and good luck. If I don't, when are you leaving for LSU?
Sometime. Not late August, early August.
Wow. How did you pick LSU? You can turn the recorder off, I guess, now at this point.
I think I'll end the call.
Yeah.
I chose LSU, one, because I've had a lot of family go through there, family friends go through there. And I have a lot of family that lives in Louisiana, because they didn't immigrate through Ellis Island. They immigrated through Louisiana.
Actually, your last name is sort of
it's
sort
Cajun
of
French,
is it? Cajun French, right? Now that I'm putting the two together, yeah. So, where in Louisiana do you have family?
All over, and I the only one I know by name, his name is Don Olivier. He lives in a little town right outside of the what city is it? Right outside New Orleans.
Okay. I'll tell you a funny story about my first time to New Orleans. I was picked up by, I went there on a basketball recruiting trip, and I was picked up by a fellow from a young man from New Orleans, and he had a friend with him who I was seated in the front seat, and the friend was seated in the back seat. And his friend in the back seat started speaking in a language I had never heard before, and I didn't understand a word he was talking. And it was Cajun. It was so amazing. The accent was so foreign to me at that time. I learned to really figure it out after a while. But it is such an interesting place, Louisiana, and you'll have a fascinating time living there for however many years you end up being educated there. And that college experience.